We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Last night, I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country.
I have just called President Obama to congratulate him on his victory.
I had the honor of calling Senator Barack Obama to congratulate him. Please.
I spoke to President Bush and I offered him and Laura, our congratulations on their victory.
Now the U.S. Supreme Court has spoken. While I strongly disagree with the court's decision, I accept it.
The president is my opponent, not my enemy. And I wish him well, and I pledge my support.
And America must always come first, so we will get behind this new president and wish him well.
This nation faces major challenges ahead, and we must work together.
He has won. We are all Americans. He is our president.
In bringing about an orderly transition of government in the weeks ahead,
I congratulate you on your victory.
Congratulations on your victory.
We've got a president-elect. He's going to have my help. Cheers.
I have no bitterness, no rancor at all.
He will have my wholehearted support and yours.
The people have rendered their verdict. And I gladly accept it.
I urge all Americans to unite behind you.
And every good American will wholeheartedly accept the will of the people.
I accept the result of the election with complete goodwill.
This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
And the defund the police Democrats have turned our once great cities into cesspools of bloodshed and crime. There's never been anything like it. Here's my plan to restore law and order in our cities.
Officially, as of now, Donald Trump is under arrest in the state of Georgia. We had confirmation earlier that he had entered the jail. And as of right now, former President Trump is in custody. He has been arrested.
Spread your legs! You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be used against you in a court of law.
Hands down.
You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided for you at no cost. Let's go.
So this happened last night. John Eastman, the disgraced ex-president's co-defendant in the case to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia, as well as an unindicted co-conspirator number two in Jack Smith's case, went on Fox News to discuss the details of the ongoing case against him, claiming that there is no evidence that he knew he was trying to illegally overturn an election.
On the RICO side of the Fulton County case, that would require findings of bad faith. That would have to be you all basically agreeing implicitly, explicitly, that y'all knew that this was all phony. And to that, you say?
Well, they've got all the evidence. They've got all my emails. My phone was seized over a year ago, so they've got all that stuff as well. And I challenge them to find a single email or communication that supports that implausible theory.
Challenge accepted. So here's what's in his own emails. This is what the January 6th Select Committee found in that guy's emails. Watch.
Dr. Eastman himself admitted in an email that the fake electors had no legal weight, referring to the fake electors as, quote, dead on arrival in Congress.
So even after the attack on the Capitol had been quelled, Dr. Eastman requested, in writing no less, that the vice president violate the law by delaying the certification and sending the question back to the states. Is that correct, Mr. Jacob?
It is.
Just a few days later, Dr. Eastman emailed Rudy Giuliani and requested that he be included on a list of potential recipients of a presidential pardon.
Trump called down to Georgia. He was looking for some votes to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. Raffenberger's been stating fraud is something that's not. And started Trump thinking he's a chump. Say, now, Brad, let me tell you what. We spent a lot of time on this. It's pretty clear we won. And if you can listen, I'll tell you all about Fulton. 300,000 fake ballots, shredding 3,000 pounds, changing equipment on Dominion machines. Irregularities can be found. Brad said we did a hand tally and got virtually the same results. So that should be sent. No need to fret. We're not a deep state, folks. Trump, keep watching Newsmax and push your lawyers hard. Because hell's broke loose in Georgia when state government disregards your crazy crackpot theories that you could never prove. So if you lose from office, you get removed. Continued on his case and said, I'll prove this now. Have you been to one of our rallies? If so, then tell me how. No way I could have lost Georgia. I know something is amiss. And a band of lawyers joined in and it sounded something like this.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello, Brad and Ryan and everybody. So we've spent a lot of time on this and think it's pretty clear that we won. We won very substantially, Georgia. You even see it by rally size, frankly. 25,000-30,000 people a rally, and the competition would get less than 100 people, and it never made sense. Anywhere from 250,000 to 300,000 ballots were dropped mysteriously into the rolls. In Fulton County, you'll find at least a couple of 100,000 of forged signatures. The minimum number it could be, because we watched it and they watched it in slow motion, instant replay, if you can believe it. And the minimum it was 18,000 ballots, all for Biden. 300,000 fake ballots, removing equipment on the Dominion machines. Supposedly shredded, I think they said 3,000 pounds of ballots. So dead people voted. We won every state. We won every state house in the country.
Because they cheated like nobody's ever cheated before. I just want to find 11,780 votes.
Brad said, well, Mr. President, the data that you have is wrong. And Trump knew deep inside his heart, this is his big swan song. Damn the Constitution, proud boys run. Devils in the White House staring at the sun. Tweeting in the evening, screaming fake news. A rigged election, no way I could lose. Met to certify the president-elect, embolden homegrown terrorists that Trump's lies did infect, ransacked the people's house for a man who's made of sin. He really is America's own Osama bin Laden. He screamed, damn the Constitution, proud boys run. Down Pan Am for an insurrection. Go home, white extremists, we love you. A rigged election, no way you could lose.
We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue.
Reporter Alan Foyer wrote a scene-setting piece for the New York Times, sort of reminding us all where this may be heading. He said towards the end of his article this morning, quote, the timetables for Mr. Trump's four trials have taken on outsized importance. That's not only because there are so many of them, but also because they're unfolding against Trump's crowded calendar as the candidate leading the field for the Republican Party's 2024 presidential nomination. As a further complication, Trump has made no secret in private conversations with his aides of his desire to solve his jumble of legal problems by winning the election. Quote, if either of the two federal trials he's confronting is delayed until after the election and Trump prevails in that election, he could seek to pardon himself after taking office, or he could have his attorney general simply dismiss the matters altogether. And I know that, I mean, learning that Trump has been saying that privately to his staffers is not shocking news per se, right? We've known that was probably what he was planning, probably what he was thinking. But per the New York Times, it does seem sort of significant that that's what he's now telling people. That's what he's telling people he's going to do. He will solve his jumble of legal problems by winning the election. What does that say about the election for all of the rest of us, right? It means in his own mind and those of his campaign and his supporters, presumably, these are the stakes. And again, whatever you think about that as a legal strategy for Trump, that is how he is thinking about the election. And that is how he is going to be talking to his supporters and his aides and his campaign about the stakes of the election. The election means one of two things, if this is the way he's going to approach it. Either he loses the election and he goes to prison, or he wins the election, he doesn't go to prison, and is that for life that he gets to be president? Will we keep having more elections or no? If every election is a new opportunity for him to go to prison, do you think he allows us to have new elections?
And just announced late this morning, a judge has now set March 4th as the trial date for Donald Trump's federal case accusing him of plotting to overturn results of the 2020 election.
March 4th. Hey, remember how there was an insurrection? Capitol Police are warning it could come back because of a QAnon theory claiming the ex-president will return to power March 4th. March 4th. Now, I'm no psychologist, but you could say they're suffering from March Madness. Also, they're clinically insane. But there's method to this cuckoo. You see, Q followers were heartbroken on Inauguration Day, which was supposed to be the day that the storm came that would keep their guy actually in office. So they've moved the date of the storm, when all the arrests of the celebrities and the Democrats happened, to March 4th, which was the date of presidential inaugurations up until 1933. Yes, follow me down the rabbit hole. They ended it in 1933, but add up 1933, you get 16. Add up 1 plus 6, you get 7. What is 7? 3 plus 4. 3, 4. March 4th, when we shall march 4th. I see patterns where none exist. But the enhanced security may not be necessary because some QAnon adherents are now skeptical as to the origins or validity of the theory. You know what? Now that I think about it, this March 4th thing doesn't have the same ring of truth as Tom Hanks eats babies. March 4th.
So the fake judge in the swamp, they call it DC, we call it the swamp, is now doing the bidding of deranged Jack Smith. Okay, it's sort of like their team now. And this judge, we went to this judge, Chutkin, what a name. From Jamaica, by the way. From Jamaica, born in Jamaica, so we're not even dealing with somebody born here. How about that? Isn't that the way the Democrats would do it? First they gave us Obama from Kenya, and now they give us Chutkin from Jamaica. Great, what's next? Catering from Golden Crust instead of Chick-fil-A? How about that? Look for it, watch. They're gonna send the jury to Jamaican food, just to make sure that they're getting all the radical left foreign food instead of a strong Christian meal like Chick-fil-A. You watch, that's what's going to happen. But Chutkin, and remember the Jamaican, remember there's my friend Vlad Putin has a friend, his name's Steven Seagal, did a lot of action movies, good guy. And in one of them, and I think it might have been a documentary, it's called Marked for Death, which is what the Democrats want to do to your president. And in that movie, you know what they did? They sent Jamaicans after Steven Seagal, and that's what they want to do to me. But instead of sending a gang that we could defend with strong Second Amendment, now they decided they're going to send judges. Now, Chutkin from Jamaica, Okay, it's not cool runnings. It's actually called nasty runnings. Okay, that's what she's trying to do. Instead of a bobsled, it's a railroad, and they're railroading a president. It's a disgrace. And we like Jamaicans. We have no problem with Jamaicans, okay? Marley. Remember Marley? Marley and Me? He did music, and people liked him. Okay, so it's not against Jamaicans. It's about this Jamaican and what they're trying to do to your president. So we came to them. Very nice. Very nice. It was called nice. And we said, how about March 2026? And they said, no. And I said, well, we were going to ask for 2024. We're going to ask for 2044. At 2024 is when I become president. 2044 would be when I would step down from being president. And we do it nice, very clean, very nice. But no, Marked for Death Chutkin says, no, we're doing it March 2024. And that's what they're going to do. We came to them with peace. We came to them with a nice, you know, I didn't want to do it. I want to do it 2044, and instead I said, okay, 2026. That's a hell of a deal for the radical left and Chutkin. And now Chutkin shut that down. She shut it down with March, right in the middle of me winning the nomination. So this is how they want to deal. They did it to Steven Seagal and Marked for Death, and they're going to do it for me. They're marking me for prosecution, which is in a way worse than death. It's actually the worst thing that they can do to your president. So, because they're destroying not only me, but the presidency, and that's even worse. So we're going to fight. We're going to fight strongly. We're going to fight peacefully with only strong Second Amendment peace. You know, when I say fire, that's called First Amendment, okay? Because it's not a fire in a movie theater. It's just fire your Second Amendment weapons. Total peace, total protection, although they'll probably say it's not. So I hold Chutkin in contempt of her own court, and they should throw her in jail like a dog, like a Jamaican dog. I don't know, do Jamaican dogs bark, or do they just smoke reefer with a hard R? So we're going to fight total injustice, March Madness. We're calling it March Madness. I don't think anybody's ever called March Madness something before. So March 2024, total March Madness. Bye-bye.
You said in 2016, you know, lock her up. And then when you became president, you said, we don't do that in America. That's just not the right thing to do. That's what they're doing. Do you regret not locking her up? And if you're president again, will you lock people up?
Well, I'll give you an example. The answer is you have no choice because they're doing it to us. I always had such great respect for the office of the president, the presidency. But the office of the president, and I never hit Biden as hard as I could have. And then I heard he was trying to indict me, and it was him that was doing it. You know, I don't think he's sharp enough to think about much.
Why aren't you at the Fox News debate tonight in Milwaukee?
Do I sit there for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it's going to be, and get harassed by people that shouldn't even be running for president?
Do you think Epstein killed himself sincerely?
I think he probably committed suicide.
He was killed.
You think so?
I think the closer you look, I'm not a conspiracy person at all.
The bus will go here and then the bus will go there because that's what buses do. And it's weird. The whole thing is weird. Chris Wallace, he was the moderator.
Not a friend.
I said, why is it he wants to be Mike, but he doesn't have the talent? It's one
He's
of those
bitchy little man. Don't they have to kill you now?
We lost 35,000 people because of the mosquito. Most of the states have so much water. You know, it comes out of heaven, right? They have sinks where no water comes out. You turn it on, no water comes out.
Wait, they have sinks where no water comes
out? Sure. Hear ye, hear ye. The great state of Georgia is not capable or allowed to tabulate their votes.
How do you get indicted, you know, every week and stay cheerful?
Hillary Clinton goes crazy. Every time she talks, she says, he's not the president, Jimmy Carter said, he's not the president. Well, I am the president.
Do you think we're moving towards civil war?
January 6th was a very interesting day because they don't report it properly. There was love in that. There was love and unity.
So do you think it's possible that there's open conflict?
There's a level of passion that I've never seen. There's a level of hatred that I've never seen. And that's probably a bad combination.
Over the last few days, we have seen mugshots released as the 19 defendants in the Fulton County case have started turning themselves in for booking. The Fulton County sheriff had promised that former President Trump would be treated like anybody else, that he would get a Fulton County mugshot like everyone else. Well, just now, in the last few moments, the sheriff has released that mugshot from former President Trump. And so I'm saying we should slow down here just for a second, because this is serious stuff for the nation, for who we are as a country. We have never before had a mugshot of a United States president, current or former. But now we do. Here it is.
I am now going to book the Fulton County photographer for my Christmas card. Because, Judge, and I say this with a unblemished record of heterosexuality, he looks good. And he looks hard.
Criminal defendant and former President Donald J. Trump, presumed innocent until proven guilty, in accordance with the rule of law, for his sake and for ours. Whatever you think of the photo, this is not something to take lightly. Our constitutional republic depends on the very basic concept of rule by law, not rule by man. A constitutional standard under which a president is still just a citizen, and all citizens have equal standing before one system of law which applies equally to everyone. The rule of law and the health of our democracy depend not just on the conduct of this criminal case, but on our ability as citizens to take this with the sort of heft that it needs.
But even the president of the United States sometimes must have to stand naked.
A federal judge in New York today handing Donald Trump another defeat in this case, a second one, essentially saying that her second defamation lawsuit can go forward only on the in the damages phase, because he's already ruled that Trump did defame her a second time with actual malice. And so the only question now is how much money Donald Trump is going to have to pay her. He's already been hit with a $5 million verdict in her first defamation case involving statements from 2022. These are statements that Trump made back in 2019, denying that he raped her. Now, the only question is, how much money is Donald Trump going to have to pay E. Jean Carroll?
Breaking news in the last few moments, a judge handing down a extraordinarily stiff and historic prison sentence for insurrectionist and Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio. 22 years in federal prison. That is now, as of today, the longest prison sentence associated with the January 6th insurrection. It reinforces how these sometimes slow wheels of justice do keep turning. Tarrio was convicted in May. With this sentence, he joins roughly 600 total individuals convicted of crimes related to the storming of the Capitol. Over 1,000 charges, others await trial. Those are all for the people who were on site. The new RICO indictments are also the first charges against Trump aides and political elites who were not primarily at the physical insurrection itself. They stand accused of related crimes and plots with the same overlapping set of goals. Steal the election, use fraud as a pretense to help efforts to try to hijack that January 6th certification. Today's 22-year sentence and these other indictments and these pending trials are a complete crystallization of how this is all going now. But let's take a look just briefly at how, according to many, it started, with Trump and his aides planning ways to steal the election before people even voted, with then-President Trump infamously publicly refusing to honor something that every president, all the way back to Nixon, has honored, from Nixon all the way back to Washington, that you respect the outcome of the election in a democracy. He said the opposite and then proved that he meant it. And then he said this about the now convicted Proud Boys and their leader when asked to condemn them.
Are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups?
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
They did more than stand by. Now, that was a low point for any sitting president in modern history. The words you heard there alone, while completely heinous, according to many, were not a crime in themselves. Defendant Trump has since been indicted in two jurisdictions for the actual actions and plots he launched after losing the election that went well beyond statements like that. Tarrio, convicted of sedition, he and his co-conspirators viewed their actions, what they did that day, as a direct response to what the losing outgoing president, Donald Trump, was asking of them. And the feds say it was all premeditated. On January 4th, 2021, Tarrio told his men that they would, quote, storm the Capitol. That is damning evidence because it completely undercuts any of his potential defenses, now failed as he's been convicted, to say that this spun out of control or was some kind of riot. When the attack was underway, Tarrio very clearly viewed it as the intended and achieved outcome of what they planned. In a private chat that maybe he thought would never become evidence, he wrote, quote, "We did this."
This whole thing about flipping, they call it. I know all about flipping. For 30, 40 years, I've been watching flippers. Everything's wonderful, and then they get 10 years in jail, and they flip on whoever the next highest one is, or as high as you can go. It almost ought to be outlawed. It's not fair.
Why has he been watching them for years? And he was the president when he said that. He wants to outlaw government cooperation. In comments like those that sound more like they'd come from a movie character in The Godfather or something less than The Godfather, rather than at the time the sitting president of the United States, Trump making clear his feelings on individuals who cooperate with the government to save themselves from serving prison time or to lower their sentences.
You know that kid, you know, from the city we're talking about? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The kid turned out to be a rat. As soon as he got pinched, he ratted everybody out. He ratted us all out.
Those comments apply very fittingly today, as a brand new fantastic piece of analysis in Politico takes a close look at some of Trump's current co-defendants who are beginning to turn against him in the multiple criminal cases he faces. Politico writes this, quote, "In court documents and hearings, lawyers for people in Trump's orbit, both high-level advisors and lesser-known associates, are starting to reveal glimmers of a tried-and-true strategy in cases with many defendants. Portray yourself as a hapless pawn while piling blame on the apparent kingpin. It's not uncommon for co-defendants facing serious prison time to point fingers at each other to make themselves look less culpable to an eventual jury. But rarely has it played out in such an extraordinary fashion, where the alleged ringleader is a former president."
See ya.
Donnie was cutting every link between himself and the coup. It made him sick to have to turn the presidency over to the guys who stole it. Still, days after the riots, they were banning everyone from getting on a flight. When they detained Colby in the terminal, he had two duffel bags full of Nancy Pelosi's vacation Polaroids before they sent him to federal prison. You know, we always called each other proud boys. Like I'd say to somebody, "He's such a happy little baby, he's a proud boy. Do him need a diaper change? Do him want his baba? Get him his baba. Understand?" Being president meant you were part of a crew, you were part of a family. It means no one can f*** around with you. It also means that you can f*** around with anybody as long as they devote all their new free time to following social media conspiracies. It's like a license to steal. It's a license to do anything.
Now take me to jail.
We'll be out in a year. And then we'll be back.
Could be fun. Don't have to worry about your meals or what you're gonna do Saturday night.
Hey, you've been great. See you in the cafeteria.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.